Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Sam Rohr, I'm David Kistler, and we are delighted to be with you today. Does that make sense?
As long with Sam Rohr, and you're David Kistler. No, you're not David Kistler, Gary Dahl. That'll really throw everybody off if they're listening to this program.
I'm Gary Dahl. David Kistler is not with us today. From what we understand, he has a funeral to go to. I was not here yesterday because I had a funeral to officiate. And so I guess people are dying every day. I don't only guess that. I know that. That's why it's absolutely important to be ready to meet the Lord. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And we talk about a lot of things here on Stand in the Gap today. But you know, the most important thing for everybody, including you, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you die and you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you're absent from this body and present with the Lord, just like that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and you die, well, you'll be taken into hell, awaiting the great white throne judgment, where you will stand before the Lord, and because your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. And by the way, once you die, there is no second chance. There is no opportunity. And so I would encourage you to take a good look at your life. Are you ready to die? Have you a time in your life where realizing you were a sinner, and that Jesus Christ was the Savior and is the Savior of the world, that you called upon His name and asked Him to save you and give you eternal life? If you can't find the time when you've done that, I would encourage you to do it today. Make certain that you do it. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And to be saved means to be delivered from sin, its power, its penalty, and its presence through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so, you know, Dave can't be here today because of a funeral. I couldn't be here yesterday because of a funeral. Maybe tomorrow Sam won't be able to be here because of a funeral. But, you know, we never know these things. What about you? Are you ready to die? The number one most important question that you'll ever deal with in your life is, what have you done with Jesus? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Like I said, we talk about so many, many issues on this program, and those issues are very significant and must be talked about. But the most important, significant issue is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you born again? If not, then as I said before, call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You know, Sam, I had a granddad who was a pastor, served for nearly 60 years in ministry. And I remember years and years ago, he made the statement that the two most important decisions that any person can make is, number one, what will you do with Christ? And number two, who will your spouse be? And of course, I'm thankful that I made two pretty good decisions, maybe the only two decisions I've ever made in life. The first was to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and the second one was to ask my wife Nancy to marry me. Those are very good decisions from my perspective, and I appreciate that wisdom of my grandfather, which I've shared with many, many people down through the years. Know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Sam, how long have you been saved?
Gary, it has now, for me, been 53 years.
50?
Which is a long time, you know, and then I would say the same thing. I mean, and I think, you know, as what you're saying, putting things in perspective here, all of the issues of the day that we talk about, all critical. That's what we deal with, the issues that are on the front page headline news of the day, and try to put a biblical and constitutional perspective on it so we can understand it. But if we don't do anything else other with this information, all it does is may help us to understand what's going on better in this life. But this, if we fail to understand the sacred nature of life, and the fact that God has given each one of us a soul, each one of us are valuable in His sight, which is why there is no preference of race before God. There is no better than thou attitude that should be present within the Christian thought, because we're all equal before the Lord. When that value of our life is understood, Gary, it helps to bring purpose to what we're doing. And that if we run into conflict, which we do in this life, we can see beyond this life to the eternal life. And of which it is there. And of course, you know, God has given us that choice. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And but most of what we talk about here are really, in essence, when it comes right down to it, those who trust and believe what God says about life and about morality and about Jesus Christ and redemption, and those who reject it. Dave Kistler, I talked about it yesterday a little bit, about the whole concept of we're in a day when Romans chapter 1 talks about those who knew God didn't want to think about Him anymore, and He said, fine, you go do your own thing. There is a choice. And so if we fail to, on this program, bring this focus around, as we are in this first segment, to this piece of the equation, we've been remiss, and I believe not fully expressing the truth. The truth is, everyone who's listening has great value. God loves them. Their souls will live for eternity. Their choice is there of where it will be. Choose the Lord. Choose Christ. And then it puts a whole different aspect on our living, our reason for living, and our attitude while we're here, and the way we look at things. And we talk about a biblical worldview. Well, a biblical worldview is seeing things from God's perspective. That first step of seeing things from God's perspective is believing that He is God and that Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. And so anyways, yes, Gary, that's a long answer to your question, but I think fitting it together like we're talking about right here helps to keep it all in perspective of why this program is so important, and that's where we're coming from. That's part of the attitude and the view of, when you say biblical worldview, it's from this filter. When we talk about the constitutional view, it's again through this view that affects our view of civil government from God's perspective and how they fit together. When we see it that way, it all fits, Gary.
And if a person doesn't have a personal relationship with Christ, if a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have no concept what the biblical worldview is. And as a matter of fact, they really would not be able to understand the facts behind the United States Constitution, because the United States Constitution is a document that's based upon the Word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you have that relationship with the Lord that's true by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and then build your life upon that. Experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ gives, and then stand for truth and righteousness. Let others know that you're a Christian, live like it, and show Christ in all that you do. Well, when we come back to Stand in the Gap today, we've got some issues we really do want to talk about. One is the fact that we find that there are terrorist threats out there for the upcoming 4th of July. What about that? What are we going to do about it? We'll be back to talk about that right after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner, as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders charged up Cuba's San Juan Hill and captured it this day, July 1st, 1898. After 8 hours of heavy fighting, over 1,500 Americans lay dead or wounded. Just 4 months prior, the U.S. ship Maine was blown up in Havana's harbor. Roosevelt resigned as Assistant Secretary of the Navy and organized the first volunteer cavalry, made up of pole riders, cowboys, and even Indians. After the battle, President McKinley wrote, "At a time of the glorious achievements of the military at Santiago de Cuba, it is fitting that we should pause and bow before the throne of divine grace."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "we the people," didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you there with us, wherever you might be in Stand in the Gap territory. We are coming up on a very, very significant holiday here in the United States of America. It is Independence Day. July 4th, of course, is this coming Saturday. And I understand that people are going to be traveling all across the country during this particular weekend, maybe more so than in the past couple of years, from some of the reports that I've been seeing. And yet, there are reports out there that has come, of course, as the result of the FBI, that there may be some terrorist attacks throughout the country. As a matter of fact, the FBI is establishing command centers around the country to monitor any potential terrorist threats around the entire weekend. The source of that basically says that while there are no specific credible threats surrounding the holiday, its symbolic nature offers a potential target for terrorist groups like ISIS. And authorities are very, very much concerned about what they call soft targets, like shopping malls and baseball stadiums and church gatherings and other areas where there are large gatherings of people, but a rather light security. And so basically they are telling us that even though there is not any credible specific threat, yet it's very, very important for us to be very, very careful, for us to be diligent, for us to be watching. I remember, Sam, a couple of years ago, I took a course on Homeland Security, and a part of that course, it basically said that one of the greatest ways to be ready is to watch out for anything unusual. Watch out for people acting in an unusual way. Watch out for unusual things being laid around or placed around, or just, you know, just downright being diligent. And I suppose that that's the best thing that we can do. But what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that that these threats are genuine, or well, let me hear your thoughts on it, Sam.
Well, Gary, I think we have to mention this kind of thing just simply because it is there. Now, you know, there has been a problem, I believe, over many, many, many years in this country, where the crying of wolf, and the elevation of warnings that, you know, that really started really after 9/11, where there was a warning system placed and put in effect, and it was level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ultimately a 6, which we have not reached, but we've been up to 5. President Obama, when he came in, remember the swine flu epidemic was a big issue around the country, and it was a big flurry. It was in the news. You couldn't get away from it. And the president used that swine flu thing to actually raise the national warning level to level 5. After 9/11, it stayed, I think, was at level 2. And President Bush took and bumped it up, and then the Barack Obama took and bumped it up further. So you can use a number of things by which you can elevate warnings. Now, the fact of the matter is that when you know, and so personally, Gary, I hear these things, and I think probably like most Americans, you just say, I've heard that before. To some extent, I think that there is harm in forever making statements in the press. This is going to happen. Big here, big deal. Because you end up getting sleepy and going to sleep and not looking. And as you said, being diligent and being aware, we must be. Being asleep is not ever a good thing. And so that's really part of the reason for this program, to bang things up so people are not asleep. On the other hand, in this case here, with this warning, the FBI did release it last Friday. In conjunction with Homeland Security, and I think another agency jointly released it. Now, what's tended to give it a little bit more oomph, and perhaps a reason that it ought to have some consideration more than a normal, is that former deputy chief of the CIA, Michael Morell, on Monday was interviewed on multiple networks, and he made statements. He said that this is far from routine. Because I asked him, have we heard about it before? He said, look, this is different. It's far from routine. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if we'd be sitting here a week from now, meaning a week this coming Monday, where we're talking about some kind of an attack in the country. Now, he cited three things, and again, I think these are legitimate. He said there are three reasons to say that this threat by ISIS and Muslim terrorists are something that ought to have a little bit more than just a casual blink. One is that ISIS has done a worldwide call to arms during Ramadan, and we are in the middle of Ramadan, June 17th to July 17th. So July 4th falls pretty much right in the middle, number one. Number two, there have been over 50 people arrested in these United States since January different parts of the country that are homegrown terrorists that the FBI noticed have picked up where they were plotting specific things here and they happened to interrupt those efforts. And then number three, on Monday, in one day, ISIS and its efforts performed synchronous events in Tunisia, in Kuwait, and in France. To demonstrate that that they have the ability to take and do whatever. Now, this being the case is why Michael Morrell said this ought to be taken as more than just a casual thing. Now, the response is, what do we do? Well, the average person listening here is, what are you going to do? This is not a call to stay inside, not at all. But it is to say, if you're going to be out in where there's going to be a group of people, large group of people, then you ought to keep your eyes open. And just simply be aware, be alert. Nothing wrong with that. Always should be in that kind of a mode. And I think, Gary, that's my walk away at this point. It is a matter, a little bit more than normal. Be alert. Don't be afraid. And don't be thinking about going the opposite direction. But you can't also be asleep and totally ignore it. That's not good sense either.
Well, that's correct, Sam. And, you know, to add to what you said, one authority has also stated that it seems like ISIS and other terrorists, whoever they might be, have been able to catch on to how our people are able to read the various chatter that's out there on the online and so forth and so on. And so consequently, now that chatter, as it were, has been blocked. In other words, for instance, the ISIS folk, why they have been able to figure out a way to be talking amongst themselves about what they're doing without having that chatter so evident that our Homeland Security institutions, individuals, organizations, and so forth and so on cannot read that. And the individual who was giving that particular statement said that that's the scary thing. Because when they have been able to pick up chatter, then they've been able to hold off certain terrorist attempts that might come into fruition. But when they can't read that chatter, then, you know, it becomes a bit more difficult. And so, you know, I'm wondering if that's not what actually has contributed to this threat or to this warning out there that you know, we need to just be very, very careful as we go into the 4th of July weekend. One law enforcement source has been stating that what they're going to be trying to do is shift towards getting ISIS supporters off the streets. You talked, Sam, about homegrown terrorists, and of course, there are many people in the United States of America today who are supporters of ISIS for one reason or another. And so one of the things that the FBI is going to be doing as we approach this weekend is, you know, trying to get those who have been identified as supporters of ISIS off the street. And what they may do is to start arresting individuals on lesser charges rather than building a larger case right off. They'll arrest people on lesser charges and then build that larger case as time goes on, because they're just trying to get these people who may be a threat to us off of the streets of our nation. And so, you know, it is something we need to be very careful about. But Sam, I often think of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, where it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." What are your thoughts of that verse in reference to what we may be facing here regarding terrorism coming this coming weekend?
Well, Gary, that should be the operative mentality for all believers. There are many things for which we can be fearful. Always, that's the nature of life. But we cannot live in that, because we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Those who know the Lord have with them the Spirit of God, who is our refuge and our strength. He provides our confidence. And that being the case, Gary, we need to think and we need to believe and walk in that mindset, because, in fact, it is true. So understand what's going on, but not run from what we see.
Yeah, and that word fear there mainly means we're not to be cowards. We don't need to be cowards, because, as you said, Sam, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got more to chat about. As time goes on, we're going to take a break, but we will be back with more right after this, so stay tuned.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. An American flag will fly over an embassy in Cuba for the first time in 54 years, with a Cuban embassy also reopening in Washington, D.C. July 20th. President Obama says it's time to reestablish ties.
Instead of supporting democracy and opportunity for the Cuban people, our efforts to isolate Cuba, despite good intentions, increasingly had the opposite effect.
Opponents of the move say it will only strengthen the Cuban dictatorship. A fire at a black church in Greeleyville, South Carolina, does not appear to have been arson. It's according to what a federal official tells the Associated Press, but ATF agent Craig Chilcott says,
"We haven't ruled anything in or anything out at this point. We're going to let the case dictate, and we're going to investigate it as the facts will ultimately determine what occurred."
There was lightning in the area when the fire broke out last night. Fox News, we report.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
When a nation embraces evil and rejects good, when evildoers are commended while Christians are maligned, it's time to understand the reason. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people once knowing the truth of God, experiencing the blessing of God, and who through science and technology uncover the mysteries of creation but then reject the truth and refuse to give God the glory, God will wipe his hands of these people and remove his mercy from them. He will give them up to general sexual perversion, then to deviant sexual attractions, including homosexuality, then to a reprobate mind, so that they not only can do all the evil they want, but also experience all the dire consequences of their sin. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, saying that rejecting God and His truth is fatal. For me, I prefer to glorify God, thank Him for all He's done, and be blessed by Him. How about you?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are delighted to have you there by the radio or the computer, however you might be listening to Stand in the Gap Today, a ministry of the American Pastors Network. And those of you who heard the Fox newscast during the break, and I realize some stations do not hear that newscast, but those of you who did hear the newscast, and of course many of you are following the news otherwise, are aware of the fact that our country is right now trying to rebuild relations with the land of Cuba. And in a very, very short period of time, we are going to be having an embassy in Cuba, and Cuba will be having an embassy here in the United States of America. And that means we are going to be having a relationship with a nation that has been involved with terrorism. Although they say they haven't done any terroristic attacks for six, or I should say, they have not been involved with terrorism for 6 months. My response to that, Sam, is wow. you know, 6 months. Well, what does that say? But anyway, Sam, do you think that we should be very concerned as American citizens about this new relationship that the Obama administration is attempting to build with Cuba?
Gary, I do, for the simple reason that the recognition of one country to another is one that is representative of an understanding, an agreement, more or less. And there was a point in this nation's history where the efforts of communist Cuba and their actions against freedom and their threats against this nation, Christians on that island and so forth, were of such a nature that that the relationship was severed. Now, the question is, what has been done? What have they done to change who and what they are in that period of time? Is that relationship and that change so evident and so clear that it is appropriate for us to normalize relationships with them? And certainly that is what this president has sought to do, saying that that the sanctions against them and so forth have been counterproductive. Now, the question would be, I would say, is counterproductive for what purpose? Counterproductive for Cuba. Certainly, they have been harmed by that relationship, but that's the entire purpose for it. Instead of changing, though, they have effectively won. And I think that that is the danger of this policy by this administration. But unfortunately, Gary, it is consistent with other foreign policies, relationships across countries, other countries, where those who have been friendly to us, even though they may not have been, whether they be, you know, the leader of Egypt or a Gaddafi who was not our friend necessarily, but he was living at peace with us at that point, they knock these guys off. And they strain relationships with our friends like Israel. This whole policy is upside down. So I say, whereas we might not know all the details, I can say this. There is nothing happened there that's been of substantive change to make this a good and appropriately based normalization. That's why many in Congress, guys like Marco Rubio and so forth, and Ted Cruz, who have had roots from Cuba, are saying this is an atrocious action.
Well, it is, and you know, I think to me it's actually a surprising action, and I'm on one hand surprised that we are normalizing relationships with Cuba, but on the other hand, I'm not surprised in the sense that this president of ours, Barack Obama, is doing things that are so strange to our country. He is doing exactly what he said that he would do when he was running, and that is to change America fundamentally. But you know, Sam, in light of what he's doing with Cuba, the other day he was being interviewed and the reporter asked him about the next 18 months that he has in the White House. And he said, yes, I don't have much time to go. I've only got about 18 months, but there's a lot yet more to be done. And I am fearless. I am fearless. In other words, he has an agenda that he's really going to put forth every effort to fulfill and to complete. That's something that should bring great concern amongst us as Americans, don't you think?
Well, I think absolutely, Gary. Again, when this president early on said he wanted to fundamentally change America, he was bringing hope and change. He meant it. Now, what people did not do then, enough people then, asked for a definition of that. What do you mean? And what does that look like? Now we have an idea of what it looks like and what he meant, and it's not good. So when he says there are things yet to be done and that he's not going to sit back, and I think the one quote I heard him say was that that there will be yet some, you thought some things have been controversial so far, you just wait. Well, wow. when I hear things of that nature, Gary, I am saying to myself, what will that be? So bottom line is that, you know, we you know, what can we do? I guess I'm dismayed continually at this Congress, Gary, under Republican control now, who really have just gone along and gone along and gone along. And you do not hear any kind of effective opposition, just a falling along. I mean the president just got just the other day the enhanced trade pact that he was wanting, which really gives up a lot of congressional authority and places it with the president. And again, this is that document that some were saying, even on the Republican side, you're going to have to wait until it's passed to be able to read it. The same thing that Pelosi said years ago. This is a bad, bad thing, Gary. It's a forfeiting of duty and responsibility of those who are in Congress, and it is a threat / promise by this president, who has done really everything that he has said to do more, and that is a grave concern to me.
Well, you know, Sam, let's talk just a moment about the Congress, and you know, they're taking a very weak stand, it seems. You know, earlier last year, after the election, actually, we had heard that, 90-some percent of those in Congress claimed to be Christians. And not only that, but we found that there are a good number of men who had served as pastors who are now in Congress, which, of course, is encouraging. And so, you know, if you've got a Congress that where 90-some percent claim to be Christian, and where you have men in there who served for years and years in the pastorate, why don't you think we're seeing a better result from what is happening down there?
Well, Gary, I think it brings it back to the same thing we've talked about here. How many of those actually have a biblical worldview from the standpoint of interpreting what they're doing in light of what Scripture says? And number two, how many of them actually hold to the fact that that Scripture has authority behind it, and they're committed to following that? If we see those kinds of problems in the pulpits of America, which we've talked about before, 92% of those interviewed say they believe the Bible speaks to all issues of life, only 7% preach it, 50% only have a biblical worldview, 30% believe in the authority of Scripture. That's in the pulpit. If you have that in the pulpits of America, it is no surprise to me that you have a majority who say they are Christian but don't in any way act like it, or in any way attempt to conform what they're doing consistent with what they say they believe. It's much in walk only, and I mean in talk only, and not walk. This is a problem of the day, and that is why knowing of the truth is one thing. Doing it is something else, and that is what's critically important today. We need people who are going to do what they say, do the truth, not just refer to it once in a while when it's advantageous.
That's a good point, Sam. And that particular poll I was referring to was the conducted by Pew Research, and they said 92% of those in Congress claim to be Christians. And on one hand, we say, wow, that sounds good. But on the other hand, if they're not living according to biblical truth, that's something else. We do want to get into another subject here, and Jess will have the opportunity to introduce it before we go into the next break. But, Sam, yesterday, Chris Christie announced that he was going to run for the presidency of the United States of America. Your thoughts, my friend?
Well, one more. That's right. There's one more joined the ranks. I think it was interesting, Gary, in what he did. Dave and I talked when John Kachik from Ohio introduced himself. He said, he made the reference, we got to move on from this marriage thing. Let's talk only about the economic side of the equation. When Chris Christie introduced himself, he said, I'm going to be my own man. Nobody in my back office is going to tell me what to do. But, you know, he left out something very, very important as well. He referred to no position of morality. He didn't talk about life or the importance of it. He did not talk about marriage or the importance of it. Did not make any reference at all to these issues we would construe to be moral, but clearly we understand are the underpinnings of every other piece of law that we may term secular. So he left that out, and I think that's very, very telling about Chris Christie.
Well, you know, certainly I would not be one who would vote for Chris Christie, But you know, not only has Kasich come out with this particular statement, but I think Jeb Bush also made the statement that we need to move on from this same-sex marriage issue, and that greatly concerns me. And I think we need to talk more about that as time goes on. Well, we'll be back right after this break, ladies and gentlemen, for more Stand in the Gap today. Don't go away.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. That's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
And we are glad that you have rejoined us, ladies and gentlemen, as we go into our last segment of the radio program today, Stand in the Gap Today. Well, we are all still concerned about what the Supreme Court has done in basically coming out and saying that same-sex marriage is legal under the Constitution. But, of course, as we talked about the other day, that doesn't make it lawful, nor is it morally correct. It just goes along with the same attitude towards abortion. You know, in America, it's legal, they say, to have an abortion, but it's not lawful according to biblical truth and so forth. But so this really has us greatly concerned and should. But Sam, you've learned of an amicus brief that's been out there that is interesting for us to focus on a little bit here this afternoon.
Gary, I have, and this is something we're just going to – this will be just basically a teaser. We will do more information on this later because of the impact of it. But this is something that probably most that are listening right now would have no idea that that this took place. And that is this. You know, when the Supreme Court rules on matters such as this case of marriage, there are people who weigh in on both sides. There are those who put forth briefs that in support, in this case, of maintaining the position that the states that they had the right to pass the laws that did recognizing marriage. And then there were those who were wanting to, in effect, wade in legal support of the court upholding the lower court rulings and, in effect, doing what they did, and that is to for them to make the judgment that all marriages are equal, including same-sex marriage. Now, the interesting thing about it is this, is that one of the briefs that were filed, it was an amici curiae filing, which simply means the definition of that, and it's a Latin word, the definition is a person not party to the litigation who either volunteers or is invited by the court to give advice upon some matter pending before it. So what you have here is a brief, and I do not know whether the court invited these folks or they volunteered. But in any event, what this is, it's a full report of many pages long, and it's filed on behalf. It's 45 pages plus an appendix at the end. But it's a writ of certiorari to the United States Court of Appeals in the Sixth Circuit on behalf of why the Supreme Court, why they should effectively do what they did, and that is to reinterpret the definition of marriage. Now, Gary, this is the interesting thing about it. This is on behalf of 379 employers, companies, and organizations across America. It is an extensive list. It is a deep list. This is a group of companies. I'm going to give you some of them right now just so people understand. This is a group of companies that are big, many of them. And there are things that they're companies from which we buy things. They are companies. These are companies who weighed in specifically saying they wanted the court to reinterpret the matter of marriage. Let me just read to you just a couple of them. They include healthcare people like Aetna and Cigna and St. Jude. There are alcohol and brewery companies. There are airlines, Alaska Airlines, American U.S. Air, United, and Delta. Manufacturers like Air Products, Alco, Johnson & Johnson, accounting firms, Ernst & Young, KPMG, retailers, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, communications companies like AT&T and Verizon, film industry, Disney, banks, Barclays, Wells Fargo, Bank of America. There's law firms like Pepper Hamilton and many others. There's financial investment companies like BlackRock and The Hartford. Pharmaceutical companies like Bristol-Myers Squibb and DuPont. Media entities like CBS. Then there's food manufacturers, General Mills, Pepsi, Coca-Cola. Or hotels, Wyndham, Marriott, Hilton. Computer companies like Hewlett-Packard. And internet companies like Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Gary, 379 major companies that everyone who's listening to this program buy things from or are invested in without their knowledge. And these companies put down their name on this official brief to the Supreme Court saying, we want you, and they cite several reasons, which I've gone through and I've looked at them. I mean, I think they're partially fallacious, but they say it costs them too much money having different laws relative to marriage in different states. They talk about having the variance of laws, meaning in some states you can recognize same sex, some states you can't, that it causes them to not be able to hire competitive people. I mean, some of these things are fictitious and bogus. But these are companies, Gary, who put their name on an official brief for history's sake, asking, begging, as this brief talks about, begging them to make the ruling to make all marriage equal. Now, what are the implications of this? Implications of this is that big companies, big money, big entities, those in favor of same-sex marriage, have been organized, working behind the scenes in big companies for a long time. It's no small thing, Gary, just getting anybody to put their name down to something, but to get all of these companies from across the country to put their name down on something of this magnitude, of this division, is incredible, and to me raises the issue of how deep and broad a small segment of our society have been able to wield power in the face of people who I think have been morally weak and wanting to be politically expedient, cave in and actually ask for a change in law that I guarantee you, Gary, will affect them down the road because of the way the Constitution was violated in this action. These are big deals, and I think that everyone, most of all these companies, will come to rue the day that they ever stepped up and said, please make this changing, not understanding that what happened was an undercutting of the Constitution, and it will mean that they themselves, as companies, will lose, I believe, certain rights that they think they now have.
Well, as you said, we're going to be talking more about this as time goes on because it's a very serious issue. But, you know, to me, this is quite overwhelming. And, you know, the question is, what do we as Christians do about that? Because, like you said, you know, we invest, we participate, we purchase items that those companies make or handle or whatever. You know, what do we do? I mean, this shows the low morality of our country. But what do we do for such a time as this as Christians?
Well, I think from the breadth of it right now, as we're looking at it, I don't think that it's possible to say I'm not going to buy any more Cheerios or Kix because General Mills bought it, or I can't ever going to stay at a Marriott, Hilton, or a Wyndham because I have to stay at Motel 6. I may not want to do that. Gary, there's some things we can't do, but there's some things we can do. If we're owners or investors in these companies, we ought to get our money out. We'll talk more about that on another program, though.
Yeah, we will. And one of the things I think this shows me, ladies and gentlemen, is that the homosexual movement has an agenda. We've talked about that for 25 years. You and I as Christians need to take a good look and see what our agenda is to portray our truth, just like the homosexual agenda has been out there to portray their low morality and wickedness. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.